Well, hey, good morning, Lake Hills Church. My name is Andrew. I'm the family pastor here. I don't know about you, but I am both fired up and wiping away tears from my eyes all at the same time. Isn't God so good? All those baptisms today. Praise God, man. Hey, if you notice, my team and I a little bit tired today, that's because yesterday we got back from the mountains of Breckenridge. We had such an amazing time. If the mountains offered it, we tore it up, basically. We had such a great time, but really the mountains are just the excuse to be able to get students away from the hustle and bustle, away from technology, to be able to present the gospel, and man, God worked this summer. Part of our strategy in this is to get the students so exhausted throughout the day, and we do. They were tired. The hard part is their stamina is greater than us as leaders. And so, yes, they were exhausted. Here's why. You get them exhausted so they sleep, because if they sleep, they're not doing dumb things at night. You see how that works? But then we as leaders are like extra tired. So if you see us dual-wielding coffee cups today, you know what's up. That's where we're at. Thank you for everybody. To all of you who contribute to give to our church, thank you for making Tribe such an amazing experience. You got to see some of the people. We also had students getting baptized at our 9:15 service. God worked, and you have a part to play in that. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. What we want for our students, it's three things. We want them to be strong, we want them to be wise, we want them to be free. If you have a middle school, a high school student, I'm sure that you would agree and say, yeah, I want my student to be strong, I want them to be wise, I want them to be free. So what I want to do today is just to take a moment to give you a little sneak peek into some of the content that we got to talk about in the mountains this week up in Breckenridge. We're going to focus on that first word, strong, because just like how we want our students to be strong, we want you to be strong. In fact, we think that strength should start in this room with mom and dad, with you leaders in the church. We want a strong church. What do I mean by a strong church? We're going to talk about that today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, thank you for what you did this week in the mountains for all of our students. Lord, so many people got baptized that weren't even a part of Tribe today, Lord, for all the families. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Lord, we pray today as we open up your word that you would speak through me. You would speak into the hearts and minds of the people here today. We open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to receive from you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Stronger. We all want to be stronger, don't we? I mean, we have that plastered outside on the walls, building stronger families. We want your family to be strong. What do we mean by stronger? Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is physical strength, right? And I think that we would all agree and say, yeah, we want to be physically the strongest version of ourselves. Not necessarily saying SEAL Team 6, like all tatted up, that type of strong. I think a lot of ladies in here go, no thanks. But the strongest version of yourself, whatever that looks like. You know, I remember when I first discovered the weight room. It was after my freshman year of football. I discovered I really needed the gym. Coming out of middle school, I played football there. I was voted athlete of the year for my school. I had a big head going into high school, and that big head got popped real fast once that first high school football practice started, because big bad eighth grader was now little small ninth grader. I'm the exact same height that I was in eighth grade. Didn't grow at all since then. Everybody else did. After my freshman year of football, getting thrown around a lot, I discovered the weight room and that I needed to get stronger. If this is as tall as I'm going to be, natural athleticism, I didn't get too many of those, too much of that in the cards. But strength, I found, was something that I get to dictate, I get to control. And so I was that, you know, that classic person in the weight room, first to get in, last to leave. Took it seriously. I'm not in there, you know, snapping towels at the other guys. But I'm getting after it in the weight room and getting stronger and stronger. And it helped me out greatly for football. I was able to go and do weightlifting competitions in high school. And I loved it because I got to choose how strong I was going to be. All I had to do was put the work in, and it helped me out. It helped me at least survive high school football. But it's not just physical strength, right? There's mental strength. There's emotional strength. You know, one of the people that I love to watch in times of chaos, and it comes up every now and then in the production world, is Chase McWilliams, our production director. Things can be going awry, you know, if there's like a power outage, all that kind of stuff. If anybody should be running around in a production disaster time, nervous, it would be Chase. But you never see him that way. He's always calm. He's always cool. He's always collected. He has mental strength. He's able to stay calm, to make the right decision, even in times of chaos. You have those people that are emotionally strong, right? Where you've met these people. They want to bring their emotions up to here, and they want you to follow them, right? Have you ever met those people? Maybe you've gotten in an argument with those people. This is an area that I have got to work on. I have a tendency when somebody brings their emotions up and they start yelling, that's immediately where I want to go to. I have some work to do in this area. So if you are emotionally strong and that person that I want to be like, that when somebody else is losing their mind and their emotions appear and you're able to stay calm and level, I need to learn from you. Please talk with me after service. I need to grow in that area. Physically strong, mentally strong, emotionally strong. But there's a strength that we envy more than any others, a strength that we look up to, one that we want for ourselves, one that we want for our kids. This is strength of character. I think another word for this would be integrity, is that we want to be those people that have that strong character, that's not going to budge or move or change. Consistency is a word that comes to mind when you think of somebody that has strength of character, that they are going to be the same strong and reliable person no matter what situation they're in, no matter what group of people they're in. You're going to be able to apply strength and pressure to them, and they're not going to crumble. They know what their morals are, and they're going to stick with them no matter what. That is the strength that we want for our students, parents, everybody in here, that starts with us. We want that strength for you as well. So where does that strength come from? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Our world has a lot to say about strength. And here's like a common phrase. If I could sum it all up, I would say it like this, that strength comes from within, right? You've heard this said before, haven't you, in some way? I've got quotes that I'd love to read you. I think this is all over. It's so prevalent in our culture. This is from Katharine Durham. She's a famous dancer and actress. She says this. This is so beautiful. Go within every day and find the inner strength so that the world will not blow your candle out. Doesn't that make you feel good, though? As I read that, don't you go like, I like that. I'm going to find the inner strength so the world doesn't blow my candle out. Like there's a part of it that resonates with you, doesn't it? This is an Indian monk. His name is Swami. He says this, the remedy for weakness is not brooding over weakness, but it's thinking of strength. Teach men the strength that is already within them. You already have strength on the inside of you. Men, women just need to realize that strength that's in them and then focus on that and draw that strength up. This is from Mariah Carey. You really have to look inside yourself and find your own inner strength and say, I am proud of what I am and who I am, and I'm just going to be myself. Once again, doesn't that just sound so good on the ears? You know, this is not just a modern day deal. This is something that has been around for thousands of years. This is Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor, said this, you have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength. That strength comes from within. When everything in the world around you is chaos, draw it up from yourself. And then let's end it with the greatest sage of our day, Alfred from Batman. Here's what he says in Batman Begins, talking to Master Wayne. Why do you think we fall, sir? So we can learn to pick ourselves up. As an American, that resonates deeply within me. The pick yourself up by your bootstraps. The you have more strength in you than you realize. There's a part of us that goes, yes, that is accurate. And I would even venture to say a part of that that I think is true. Our world would tell us that you and I have a measure of strength. We are a well unto ourselves, that all the strength that is needed is already on the inside of us. All we need to do is to draw that strength out of us when chaos comes around. And there's been times where you've done this. There's times where I've done this. Maybe you can think back to a moment in sports when you were in high school. Maybe there was a time where you didn't think that you could go any harder, where you could run faster, whatever your sport was, but a coach got a hold of you. They put their hands on your shoulders and said, you've got this, dig deep. And in that moment, you were able to find a measure of strength that you didn't think that you had. Maybe it's that you had studied and prepared and you thought you were going to flunk that test in high school, in college, right? But when it came time to it, you poured out that strength. That happens. There is a morsel of truth to all of those quotes, isn't there? That you and I do have strength within us. And when times get hard, we can look in and we can draw that strength out. The problem, however, is that we don't have an infinite supply of that strength. So I think the real question is, what do we do when we're out of strength? What do we do when we run dry? When we look into ourselves and we don't have anything left? Where do we get strength from in that moment? I've got another quote from you for you. This is from somebody you've heard of before. This is from Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq, the big man, right? 7 foot tall, quite literally, very physically strong, mentally very strong in the game. I mean, world champion again and again, an amazing player, an amazing athlete, somebody that has absolutely dug deep, found strength again and again within himself. He would say this recently on a podcast talking about his personal situation. But yes, on the court, he was a monster and he found strength, but at home, the things that mattered most with his family, he would say he didn't choose strength there. That he would prioritize his career, his legacy, over his family. He had the choice to prioritize his family, but he wouldn't take it. Here's what Shaq said. He says, I made a lot of mistakes to where I lost my family and I didn't have anyone. I was an idiot. I lost my whole family. I'm in a 100,000 square foot house all by myself. Yeah, we can absolutely draw strength from within ourselves to a certain point until we run dry. And then at that point, what do we do? Where does true strength come from? The Apostle Peter ran into a similar situation. He was one of these guys that was the loud mouth, right? You know this guy, the guy that says, like, put me in, coach, like, I got it. Like, let me go. I've got enough strength in me. Come on, count on me. Choose me, Jesus. It was on the night that Jesus was taken away to be crucified that Jesus had just eaten the Passover meal with his disciples, and he looked around the table in true Jesus style and says, hey, by the way, all of you will desert me tonight. Thanks, Jesus. Other ones are a little bit nervous looking around. Me, is it talking about you? And Peter stands up. He's bold, right? Jesus, they might desert you, but I never will. Jesus, I've got your back. Jesus, you forget how strong I am. Jesus, I will never leave you. Jesus says, you think so, Peter? You'll deny me 3 times before it's morning. Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. I got this. I'm strong enough, Jesus. A few hours later, Jesus would be arrested, would be taken away. Peter started out bold in that first interaction, but then when he saw he didn't have enough power to control the mob, Peter definitely backed off and went away. He followed Jesus as he was taken to the trial. Jesus is in the trial. Peter is sheepishly hanging back to find out what's going to become of his Lord, of his master. And as he's warming himself at a fire, someone comes up to him and says, "Hey, aren't you one of his followers?" Peter says, "I don't know what you're talking about. Me? What, one of his followers? No, no, no. You must be confusing me with somebody else." When it came time to pour out strength, Peter ran dry. A little bit later, a lady would come up to him, a young lady, and ask, "Hey, don't I know you? I saw you with that rabbi earlier. You're one of his followers." "Me? No, no, no. Not me. You must be mistaking me with somebody else." A third time, somebody comes up to him and says, "I know that you're a Galilean. I can hear by your accent. You're one of his followers." This time he starts to curse to prove that he's not following Jesus. "I don't know what you're talking about." Three opportunities to reach in and to draw strength from himself. But in those moments, Peter ran dry. I think if the Apostle Peter was here right now and he would look at that quote, "Strength comes from within," he would say, "Not for me." And Shaquille O'Neal would say, "Not for me," when it mattered most. You know, if you wrote that note down just a little bit ago, "Strength comes within," I would encourage you, would you cross that out? That is so deeply ingrained within our culture. And I think the problem is it has a morsel of truth. Can we find strength within? At times. But when it comes to our integrity, when it comes to our character, when it comes to dangerously compromising situations, is that really what we want to rely on, is the limited capacity of strength that we have? What about, Dan, when you've been at work and you're grinding, you're putting in the 50, the 60 hours, it's been a hard week, it's been a hard quarter, and you come home and your family needs you, and it's so easy just to pop off and say, "Don't you know what I've been doing? Don't you know what I've been up against lately?" Where do we get the strength to give the family the best version of ourselves? Kids are at home right now. Summer is way too long, and you've got the kids. You've got to take care of them. They don't have those 7 glorious hours of school a day where you get a little bit of backup. You get a break. And now you've got to feed them. You've got to help them. You've got activities. You've got all sorts of different things. You're carting them back and forth, and you don't think that you have any strength left to take care of these kids, and you realize that summer's not even halfway over yet. Are you kidding me? Where do we get the strength to be the mom, to be the dad that we need to be this summer for our kids? What about when that business deal comes up and you're starting to go through and it seemed good on the front end, but now if you stick to the letter of the law, your agreement, your profits aren't going to be near what you thought. You might even be losing on it. Integrity would say, stick to your word and do what you said you're going to do. But there's a part of you that says, find the loophole somewhere in the fine print. Where do we have strength for character when it comes to those situations? When physical intimacy at the house has been waning and you want to switch to a counterfeit digital intimacy, where do you find strength to push back on that? When the conversation, the text with a coworker goes from business to more casual, how do you get out of that? Where do you find strength to hit the parachute on that convo? Where do we get that strength? Strength starts with meeting the real Jesus. And I think that if the Apostle Peter was standing on the stage with me, he would say, that's exactly what happened with me. Here's what happened. So with that phrase, meeting the real Jesus, yeah, I am implying that there is such a thing as a fake Jesus. A Jesus that I think that Peter had it wrong in his mind. Here's what's, I think, wild. Peter walked and talked. He camped out. He ate every meal with Jesus for 3 years, and he still had a wrong notion of who Jesus really was. He believed in a fake Jesus. He knew the physical Jesus. They talked, high-fived, all that, but didn't understand what Jesus was really all about. It was at the time where they're at Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus stands up and asks, "Hey, who do people say that I am?" Some of his apostles answer back, well, some say that you're Elijah the prophet. Some say that you're John the Baptist. And Peter stands up and boldly says, I know who you are. You are the Christ. You are the Savior. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus looks back and says, Peter, you're exactly right. He says, flesh and blood haven't revealed this to you. Don't get a big head right now, Peter. You didn't just come up with this. God planted that thought in your heart. Way to go, Peter. And it was in this major moment of faith, of figuring out the identity of Jesus, that just a few moments later, just a couple verses down, within the same moment, within the same place, that Jesus would go on to talk about what he needs to do as the Christ, as the Savior, as the Son of the living God. Jesus would say, the Son of Man is going to be crucified. He's going to be taken away. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be handed over, and he's going to be killed. And that same Peter, who just confessed who Christ was, stood up in front of everybody and said, not so with you, Jesus. You can't be arrested. You can't be taken away. That Jesus, don't let this happen. And what is Jesus' response to him this time? Get behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're talking about, Peter. We went from well done to get behind me, Satan. You see, what Peter was thinking, who Jesus was, who the Messiah is going to be, is a rescuer to free them from Roman oppression, to free them. I mean, his whole life, he's been under constant guard. Men walking around with the red capes and the swords around them that he knows he has to pay taxes. His whole life is changed. He's under this occupation. And Peter's thinking that the Messiah, the rescuer, is going to come to free us, to liberate us from these Romans. Jesus is poised to do that. After all, he can heal people. He can bring people back to the dead. Who better to be running an army than somebody that can bring people back to the dead? Jesus, this is the Messiah that I want to follow. He's going to free us from these Romans. That's what's going on in Peter's mind. And if he and Jesus are tight right here, when Jesus overthrows Rome, won't he be elevated right alongside with Jesus? He was there with him. He ate meals with him, but he didn't understand what Jesus was really all about, not until the resurrection. It wasn't until after he saw his Lord take his last breath on the cross, his lifeless body being placed in a tomb, experiencing 3 days of immense sadness and defeat, that one of the last things his Lord heard him say was a denial about who he was. And then women came to him on a Sunday morning and said, he's not there. His tomb is empty. He ran out to see where they had buried Jesus, and he wasn't there. And that's when the seed started to be planted in him for Peter, for the first time, to see who Jesus really was. Jesus appeared to him later that night. He was able to put his finger where the nail had pierced Jesus' hands, place his hand on the side where the spear had struck Jesus, and he's starting to understand, oh, it's what Jesus said all along. Yeah, it's not about being freed from the Romans for this life. It's about being freed from sin and death, something that would hold me captive for not just this life, but for all of eternity. That's why the Messiah had to die. That's why the Messiah had to be resurrected. It's to set me free from sin and death. And it started to click in Peter's mind, but he was still too ashamed of what he had done. Weeks would go by. Jesus is doing his Jesus thing, going around and appearing to other people, showing his resurrected self to his followers. And one morning, Peter is out on a boat. He's been fishing all night. Here's the problem with him fishing. Jesus met Peter when he was fishing. It's what he had always done. And Jesus told Peter, hey, follow me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You've been fishing for fish your whole life. I'm going to elevate you, Peter. Instead, now you're going to go out and proclaim the gospel. You're going to proclaim the good news. You're going to tell people who I am. That's what Peter should have been doing that morning, is being out and saying, I've got good news. Jesus is here. He's alive, and he offers new life for you. That's what Peter should have been doing, but his guilt and his shame put him on a boat doing the same old thing he had always done, throwing his nets over the side of the boat. A man from the shore calls out to Peter, hey, boys, have you caught anything? Doesn't know who it is off in the distance. No, we haven't caught anything. He's like, hey, throw your nets over on the other side. Shrug their shoulders. They've been fishing all night. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. Throws their nets over. And there are so many fish in that net, you can read this in John chapter 21, that they have to send for another boat, a rescue boat, to come and pull the haul in of all of these fish. And Peter was smart enough to go, that's Jesus that just told me that. He couldn't wait to row over to the shore. He gets out of the boat. He swims to the shore, Peter style, right? He gets up on the shore and Jesus has a little campfire going, roasting some fish. They have a little fish breakfast that morning. This is in John chapter 21, starting in verse 15. Here's that conversation on the seashore when it started to click with him of who Jesus really is. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these right here? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, hey, feed my lambs. You're catching fish right now, and I've called you to take care of my people. Go feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Then a third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him for a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. What's going on here? Three times, Peter tried to draw from his own strength on the day of his arrest, and he came up dry. So what does Jesus do? He gives him three opportunities at redemption to confess him in front of everybody who he had previously denied him in front of. You see what Jesus was doing? It was restoration. That is when it clicked with Peter. That is the real Jesus. Peter found that here is the Messiah. Here's the man whom he had denied, whom he had turned his back on, somebody that knows all of his problems, all of his sins, all of his failures, has been personally hurt because of Peter, yet somebody who says, come with me, come back. I see you, I know you, I love you, and I'm offering you forgiveness, Peter. Come and follow me. I'm not done with you yet. That was his real Jesus moment. Peter would ditch his nets after that. He made a change, and he decided to take Jesus up on who he said he was, going to be a fisher of men instead. There was a change that happened when he encountered the real Jesus. And maybe you're at a place today where you're starting to figure out that you're starting to encounter who Jesus really is. Yes, there is sin, and yes, there is shame, and yes, there's mistakes, and yes, there's been time where you thought you were strong enough, but you came up empty, you embarrassed yourself, maybe you hurt other people in the process, but there's a God that sees you, a God that knows you, a God that loves you, and a Jesus that offers you forgiveness today. Would you take him up on that, please? Peter, when he encountered Jesus, he made a change. He wasn't the same. He's not that fisherman anymore. He's a fisher of men instead. Maybe you came in here today and you need a change. You know there's something that needs to change in you. How do you do it? How do we find the strength? maybe you would be honest with yourself for a moment and say, I'm actually not strong enough to change. If I could tell the truth, I've thought I was, and I've tried to change before, but I don't have the strength to change. Man, did you come to the right place today. But here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says. This is the Apostle Paul talking right here. He had prayed to Jesus three times saying, Lord, take this, he calls it a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what that was, whether it was physical, whether it was emotional, whether it was something he was carrying around on him. We don't know. But he calls out to Jesus to take this away, and his prayer goes unanswered. Have you been there before? Jesus responds back to the Apostle Paul, and here's what he says. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul, I'm strong enough. You're not, and that's the point. I've got the strength. You don't need it. Rely on me. What is Paul's response to what Jesus says? Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. If you need a change in your life, it's not to try to reach in yourself and draw up that strength. It's to hit your knees and say, Jesus, I can't do it. Do it for me, Lord. I need strength from you. That's where our strength starts. It's when we bow the knees of our heart to our Lord. But then once we start it, it has to continue. This is the last point today. Strength is sustained through Christ in me. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Because what happens is when we bow the knee of our heart to Christ and we say, Lord, it's not my strength, but yours. I'm relying on you from this day forward. What happens is he sends his Spirit to take residence on the inside of us. Get this, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave, that same Spirit comes to dwell within us. We have immense strength and immense power from his Spirit. When the Spirit was first given out, check out what happened to Peter. This is Acts chapter 2 right here. They're in the upper room, right? A mighty wind, a sound of like a mighty wind comes rushing through. The disciples are gathered. Peter's among them. This really crazy scene you can read about in Acts 2 where cloven tongues of fire rest over their heads. They start to pray in other languages. They don't know what they're saying. They're speaking other languages. It's a kind of chaotic scene, a little bit weird what's going on. Other people from the outside can hear and see what's happening in this building, and they're a little bit perplexed because people from all over the world happen to be in Jerusalem for this feast, the Feast of Pentecost, and they see this scene that's going on, and they go, wait a second, I'm from the other side of the world, and they're praising God in my native tongue, and somebody else says, I'm from all the way over here, and they're praising God in my native tongue too. Other people don't believe it. They don't buy it. They say, hey, these men are drunk. We don't know what's going on. And here is Peter, who 50 days earlier was so sheepish and pushed back and denied Jesus again and again. That same Peter, now filled with the Spirit, stands up and begins to preach to them. He shows them from Scripture how Jesus, how the Messiah needed to die, how he was not just here to set them free from the Romans, but set them free from sin and death and what his resurrection means to them. And then I'm just going to read you this one little part of it. You can read the whole thing. It's fantastic. I highly encourage it. But here's verse 36, how he ends his impromptu sermon. He says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified. Talk about some strength. Because those weren't just empty words. These are literally the people that shouted and chanted 50 days earlier and called for Christ to be crucified. That's who he's talking to. What boldness. This same Jesus, whom you crucified, is both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to their heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what do we do? Peter replied, repent, turn around, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do, you too will receive this same gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, for your children and all those who are afar off, from whom the Lord our God will call. The Holy Spirit is who sustains our strength. We meet Jesus and we have a moment where we bow our knee and we say, Jesus, not my strength, but yours. But how is that strength sustained? It's not that we draw from ourselves. It's more like a hose where we tap in to Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. If I'm to plug this in to a water faucet, my house, crank it on, water's going to start flowing out from this end, isn't it? If I left it on for an hour, still flowing, next day, the following day, as much water as I need from this, I'm going to get it. There's a good chance I'm not going to run our well dry from this little garden hose right here. But as much as I need, I'm going to have access to it. That's what it is to be filled with the Spirit. To have our strength sustained, not from ourselves. There's no well. This hose produces no water of its own, but it knows how to connect to the source. Jesus is our source of strength. It is Christ in us who gives us the strength, who gives us the power. Remember Jesus' prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. What's he talking about? Give us this day our daily power. So I can be the dad I need to my family. So you can be the mom that you need to yours. The employee that you need. To be that man of integrity within your business. To be that person of integrity to make sure that nothing comes between you and your spouse. Nothing hidden there. But we tap in to Jesus. Here's my challenge. Really, it's my encouragement to you and to myself as well. This summer, let's stay tapped in to Jesus. Let's quit relying on ourselves and thinking, I'm good, I got it, I got enough strength in me, that's failed me, that's failed you. Instead, let's tap into Jesus. Let's stay plugged in. This is a great community to do that. You're going to go on vacations. You're going to have a good time this summer. When you're here, let's be here. Let's come to the house of God together. It's a great time to be filled back up, to be able to tap in to the source. Open up those Bibles. I'll tell you what, I've got an amazing Bible right here. I would love to give you one exactly like this. If you don't have one, as we leave today, stop by the welcome area. We'll have a team over there that would love to hook you up, would love to help get you a Bible reading plan, to show you some Bible podcasts. I know sometimes you open this up. If you're like me, I'm going to be honest right now. I'll open this up sometimes, and I get 2 minutes in, and I'm asleep. We can show you some great Bible podcasts where you can listen to it as you drive. Why? What's happening when you do that? You're staying connected to the source so you can have your daily bread, that daily source of strength that you need. Would you do that this summer? Would you tap in? Would you keep your kids plugged in? If you want strong kids, if you want strong students, they're students who need to be regularly attached to the source. Keep them in community. Open up scripture with them. Talk to them about it. If you need help with any of that, that is quite literally my job, and I'd love nothing more than to chat with you. Our team is going to be right out here at the welcome area if you want some practical tools on how to stay connected this summer. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Thank you that we don't have to have strength of our own. In fact, Lord, you require the admission of weakness for us to come to you and say we're not strong enough to do this on our own. Thank you, Jesus, for being strong for us. This summer, may we tap into you and stay connected to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for me for just a moment longer, if you would. If you're in here today and you need to do business with God, maybe the Holy Spirit is tapping on the door of your heart right now saying, come on, admit you need my strength. If you need to do that to make Jesus the Lord of your life, to come to him in a humble moment of weakness to say, Jesus, I need your strength. I commit my life to you. I want to help you do that today. And you can start that by saying a simple prayer like this. You can, right now in your seat, pray something like this. Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm not strong enough on my own, that I have failed again and again. But Jesus, today I choose to follow you, to tap into you. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you came back to life to give me new life, and now I submit myself to you. I choose to follow you and not to rely on my strength, but to rely on yours alone. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. If that's you, heads bowed, eyes closed, and you just prayed that prayer, you just meant business with God, I want to know who you are so I can celebrate you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If that's you, you just prayed that prayer for the first time. On the count of three, would you raise your hand? One, two, three. Would you put your hand up so I can see it? Man, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes. Yes. You can put your hands down. As you put your hands down, Lake Hills Church, would you put your hands together for everybody that just prayed that prayer? Praise God.